This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Bart, give him the number.
The Yankees win. Glaber, you're my favorite.
Oh, don't start that. I'm still panicking. Don't even
Giancarlo Stanton, you're the Stanton, the leader of
I'm going to go.
1-800.
I'm going to debate. Would you just shut up?
1-800. 1-800, because when the Yankees win, they're 1-800.
It's 100.
You know what I'm saying? They keep the hope alive. 919-3776. Once again, for those that's a little slow, 1-800-919-3776.
How about
hit
social
us up.
Media?
If you can't get us with there, man, you want to get us on that tweet. You know what I'm saying? Bart and Han. Get us on that tweet. Then if you really can't get us on the tweet. Then you go get us on the Instagram. That's Bart and Han as well. Keep it simple for you guys out there. But if you want to get complex and you really want to get at us, get us on that Insta chat and that snap face.
Snap face, instant chat.
Guys, I understand, Anthony.
So as soon as I say that, my daughter comes down here, like, I don't pay the bills in this piece, and tell me I'm too damn loud because she in virtual school. Forget your virtual school and tell your teacher, shut up, just give you an A.
And understand, Anthony's going to be a little slow today on the trigger because it's an emotional day for him.
Yeah, he got a Yankee t-shirt on.
But no. Not about the Yankees. We'll get to the Yankees in a moment. We got plenty to get to today. And by the way, this is a no-guest show. So full buffet from the start. That is happening today. There's no guests at all, so we have that. We'll have a Blitz of Preven as well later in this hour. But I felt for Anthony. This is the first time for Anthony that he feels old.
Yeah, he's a baby.
Like, this is really it for him now. Like, he's officially now on the other side of being the young guy and the fan because Eli Manning retired after last season. That was his first hero. And now Henrik Lundqvist is about to be bought out by the Rangers, and that era also ends. And so for poor young Anthony, it's no longer young Anthony. Now he's just Anthony.
Now he has stories of like horror. I remember when I was like,
that's right, kid. I remember the king.
What happened? Right. what happened? Like when he got that Bleacher Report or whatever it is that he subscribed to, Rangers Update, and it hit him in his chest. Like, did he have to take a seat? Like, did he shed a tear? Did he have some Gatorade that he was drinking and pour a little out for Harry? You know, it was the first. You know what? It's about a year too late. They should have bought his ass out.
Well, they
couldn't.
This is the right time to do it, and we'll get deeper into it in Blitzer Preven. But it still is an end of an era, though. Here in New York, I mean, you see it, Eli. You know, Jeter a couple of years ago really hit a lot of people. Mo Rivera, that hit a lot of people.
Yeah, we need to refresh.
You know, obviously now with Eli and now Henrik Lundqvist, that's an era. In New York, where I think if Carmelo Anthony does what a lot of people think he's going to do, which is sign with the Knicks and then retire,
I thought he was staying.
Then you'd see like that's a real end of an era for one that area where in New York we didn't suck in New York from 07 through about 14. We at least had some teams doing stuff. You want to say 15? Throw the Mets in there too. Yeah. Fine. Like for a little run there, you had some teams that would win in championships or at least getting to the championship round or at least getting into the playoffs and making noise. You had that going on for a little bit, and all those guys that were doing it are pretty much, that era is over, and now we're hoping to get this new era. You want to talk about old Bart? How about this? RJ Santillo from the K Show sent me this text before. He said this popped up on his time hop, and it was a tweet that you put out on September 30th, which is today, 5 years ago today, 2015. And you wrote, listening to Han and Humpty, and as a former athlete, I always loved playing on the road in the playoffs, no distractions, no family ticket mess. whatever Jimmy we were talking Butler. About.
I was the first Jimmy Bucks. I told y'all I ain't play that.
And
stuff.
We were, Rick and I were fighting over like whether or not home field mattered for the Mets back then.
You know,
and, but
I
it's just
that.
You send a tweet listening to our show, and 5 years later, you're on the damn show.
Told you I've been a
you
fan.
You replaced him, or did I replace somebody?
I was like, it's, you know what? I'm tired of having to tweet this to Allen. I'm just going to join the damn show. That's the hell right. I'm going to do.
You'd call in and call me out on some stuff, too, so you might as well just join the show. All right, but let's begin it with I'll give the good news. The Yankees, this is why you get Gerrit Cole. What happened last night is exactly why you have a guy like Gerrit Cole, because when you jump all over a pitcher like Shane Bieber, like the Yankees did, like they clearly look. Kudos to Cashman's calculus crew,
the bees.
Those guys, they said they had the game plan. They told you what to look for, and the Yankees looked for it. That early fastball, early count fastball, first pitch fastball. On a lot of occasions, DJ LeMay, who jumps all over the one and he gets on base, and Aaron Judge jumps on the next one. Four pitches later, it's 2-0, and with Gerrit Cole on the mound, 2-0 is basically like insurmountable.
Yeah.
That's how you feel when you have a guy like Gerrit Cole. And the way he pitched, 13 strikeouts, he was a monster. And that is everything you wanted as a Yankee fan. It was a tone setter, like Cole said. And now I feel like, I'm sorry, Bart, tonight's that must win. It really is. It's a must win.
We just hope Tanaka got us good stuff, and we hope that Tanaka's not the
playoff
guy that they swing. You better hope that this ain't the one where they swing it early on a hanging slider. You know what I mean? Because sometimes he has a tendency, if he doesn't have a lot of control, to get it up and get it out early. And, you know, you hope that he can get you, you know, to that bullpen that is very well rested. So, you know, let's hope that it works in this order, because you do not want it to go to J.A. Happ. Come save the day. You don't want that type of smoke. You know what I mean? So you're hoping that you take care of business, you're able to rest, you continue to get that guys get healthy, be able to have a couple batting practices, you know what I mean? Stand ass attack on as he always does. But, you know,
at least he like, look, you want to rip on Stanton all you. I don't care. He looked terrible against Bieber. Looked lost against Bieber.
Because it's high pressure.
Well, he hasn't had any at bats. So he gets a homer and he feels good about himself, and now maybe that allows him to start getting himself into a rhythm. Gleyber Torres, too. Gleyber Torres wasn't looking good in some of those at-bats, and then Bieber makes a mistake against him, and Gleyber makes him pay.
Who's catching tonight? Who's catching tonight?
I haven't seen the lineup yet, but I imagine with Tanaka, you'll probably get Gary.
Gary is scary.
Yeah, you'll probably get Gary. But they have Carlos Carrasco going, who's a great story.
We bat him nine?
Yeah, I imagine.
Were you putting Gary at 9? Well,
speaking of which, by the way, let's also point this out. And again, I say this so many times. These are those moments where the geeks that Cashman has up in this. And I talked to a friend of mine who actually has seen the analytics department at Yankee Stadium. And what he told me about what he saw is fascinating. He said to me that Cashman gave him a tour of it one time, and he said, it looked exactly like a small version of a trading floor at Morgan Stanley. The same or better level of talent at the computers. And he said he was blown away by it. And you know, you imagine that's how much they've invested in this. So we could say that, you know, Aaron Boone, what a great call putting Brett Gardner in the game. And Brett Gardner was fantastic. 3 of 5, a home run, a double, 3 RBI, 2 runs scored, 7 bases total. You know, he was great. What a smart move that was, instead of Clint Frazier, who was struggling down the stretch to finish the season. But I guarantee you, whatever the geeks came up with told them Brett Gardner needs to play in this game. You know, like this is what you do. You put Brett Gardner here. This is what they're supposed to handle it this way. So once again, as we, you know, we panic about the Yankees, and I still have anxiety because I'm worried about the season still being in the hands of, in the left hand of Jay Happ eventually, if things don't go well tonight. I still have to go back and say, every time we doubt Cashman and his geeks, they turn around and go, you know, do you trust us now? Like, shut up. Because
Bieber was
unhittable all year, and they smacked
the
crap out of him in this game.
I mean, and listen, you tip your cap to the analytics department, everybody, right? But we know that this is where we expect to be. And no matter what, we're excited that, you know, it looks like it's going to go the way that, you know, we hope it will go, like at least that you're ahead. But until you win that World Series, this is just, you know, for us, this is just something that's expected. And you hope that this is the get-right series where they can propel, because we know what they're on a collision course with, you know, Tampa, and then, you know, maybe, you know, the Dodgers, if they cooperate, because they've let, you know, they've let baseball down as well over the couple of years. And they've had just maybe a little bit more misery than the Yankees over the last couple of seasons. They've had their heart broken a little bit more because they've been all in for the last, you know, three seasons. So let's see, you know, but so far so good. And listen, it's so much better than the alternative of coming in here and saying, man, did you see that game yesterday? I cannot believe we went and got Gerrit Cole. He got outshined by a dude that makes one-third his money, you know what I mean, or one-tenth his money, and say, you know what, you know, this is crazy because this guy just erased our white whale that we went out there, and we have to depend on J-Hap. So let's just hope that we take care of business. But it usually never works out that way. Listen, I understand what I'm saying, people. I'm saying it never works out that way because I hope that you guys can call me and say, see, Bart, shut the hell up. I'm doing that on purpose because really I just want to have this
negative reverse Reaper.
I'm going reverse Reaper so that hopefully y'all can come and tell me to shut up. Just know when y'all say that, I took one for the team.
I'm telling you right now, I feel like playoffs Tanaka is what I want to believe in. And his numbers, obviously, 1.76 ERA in the postseason and 8 starts, 37 strikeouts since 2015. You know, he has had big-time starts for the Yankees and in big moments, too, when they really needed him. So you feel like you should feel good about this. Carrasco's no scrub. He's good.
He should be able to get 5 solid innings. Like, it should be important for
and the bullpen is going to be available.
Innings and you're able to, you know, use this bullpen.
But
like
every time I believe in this team, Bart, even when they were winning 10 in a row and all that stuff, and you say to yourself, all right, they're back. And then they slip back into bad habits and bad at-bats, and you just keep waiting. Like, which team? Will the real Yankees please stand up? Aaron Judge, after the game, was asked that. Are these the real Yankees?
I believed in this team since day one. You know, we really weren't too concerned with, you know, where we finished. You know, we always want to go out there and win our division, you know, be the number one seed, like I know we're capable of doing, but we were able to do that. So, you know, we just decided to turn the page and go out there and just continue to play our game, you know, from the get-go. You know, this is a team that guys get on base, guys drive the baseball. We got a power pitching staff, and we decided to come out there and do that today. So, you know, it doesn't matter any situation, if we're the underdogs or, you know, for the top dog. It's just about showing up in pressure situations.
Can you just flip it like that? I don't know. Can you just flip it like that?
They sound so much like the Clippers. Man, this story sounds just like the Clippers. Oh. Like, no worries. We injured. We, you know, resting, getting guys back. Don't worry. We'll come back and just turn it on, man. It don't work that way, man. Like, you have to pay homage to the baseball guys, man. You can't cheat the process. And it seems like the Yankees are trying to cheat the process. They're ignoring the regular season, you know, and they thinking that it's going to come back and it's all going to click, man. And it doesn't work that way. So I hope that this is the real Yankees. I hope that maybe they can, you know, turn that switch on. But that remains to be seen. Very few stories start with, oh, they just turned the switch on. They were sleepwalking through the regular season. And, oh, they're the 8th seed, and they just turned it on, and now they're the favorites because they should have been the favorites the whole time. It shows a lack of concentration to me. And I understand that they were injured. But a lot of those games, they were a lot better than what their record, you know, showed. And we expect so much more. So that shows a lack of concentration. So do they get lax? Do they take their foot off the gas?
No, they can't.
Do they lose that sharpness?
No, come on.
It's easy to come out.
It's winning time. Bart, it's winning time. And they know it. There's no way. They'll have game plans. They will be ready to play. I just, again, the question, of course, is what kind of pitching will you get? And I'm not even worried as much about Tanaka as the bullpen. The bullpen has been spotty down the stretch in this season. It's had moments, and then it has had bad moments. So you wonder, what are you going to get out of the bullpen? Because I do think you will get to that bullpen in this game. Now, you remember Mark Teixeira was saying the same thing I was saying here, is that, like, the Yankees are so volatile that they could get swept in this first round, which obviously they won't now, or they could go all the way to the World Series. Like, that's the range for this team. They're so unpredictable. So after last night's game, what does Mark Teixeira think? He was on Get Up, and he was asked if the Yankees are now the favorites again to win.
Not yet. Again, it's such a crazy season in 2020. I do believe that the Yankees have the talent to get to the World Series. By the way, I think of the 16 playoff teams, realistically, 11 teams can get to a World Series, and the Yankees are obviously one of them. Now, the question will be, Gerrit Cole might be the best pitcher in the playoffs. Is Masahiro Tanaka that number two that you can put behind Cole and take him to the next level as well? And the Indians have a very good team. They're going to pitch Carlos Carrasco tonight, and then, if needed, Zach Plesac in game 3. So the series is not over, but what a great sign for Yankees fans that this lineup with so much power showed it last night.
That was important, and the preparation was certainly there. We got a little bit of breaking news from the NFL.
Can't wait.
We will get to calls on the Yankees here in a moment, but Diana Russini reporting that Sunday's game between the Steelers and Titans is now postponed. This is according to multiple sources, that they're considering all options, the NFL is, and that with Monday night being one of them, which that had been kicked around.
Yeah.
So while they haven't had major issues coming off the COVID testing, right? You saw what happened there, that you had Titans had new positives for three players and then the five personnel members as well coming off their game against Minnesota.
So
Minnesota so far has had zero positives, but they have closed their facility. The Titans have been shut down till Saturday, so you were waiting to see anything more. I believe there was one more positive with Tennessee. So now they're basically saying they cannot play Sunday, and the Steelers have been practicing all along preparing to play.
Right.
Now they might have to move the game at least to Monday if they don't postpone it entirely. But I imagine Ooh. They're probably erring on the side of caution here, right, Bart?
Can we have the rare Tuesday game?
A Tuesday game? I mean, you could, right?
Yeah, Monday. What's wrong with Tuesday?
I guess Tuesday would be like playing on Thursday. It's the same kind of week. It's just you reverse it.
Yeah.
Then you have your Wednesday off, and then you got to prepare for your Sunday game with not a lot of time.
Right, right. And you can maybe flex that Sunday game to like a night game.
A Tuesday NFL.
Ooh.
The NBA would hate that. Right? The final starts at night.
Because I don't know if you open up your facility, you don't want to have an unfair advantage for the Steelers because they're able to practice.
Yeah, game four would be Tuesday night for the NBA at 9 o'clock.
NBA Tuesday, 3 o'clock day game.
NBA would move their game. You think the NBA would move their game?
Yeah, NBA would be like, hold on.
No.
We had a COVID test. Hold on.
We're going to start our game at 7. Or we'll start our game at 6:30. Yeah,
Kelly Trpuka was in the bubble. And we
what? Kelly, why
everybody.
Kelly Trpuka? What are you going after him for?
Because I love because he had the best curls outside of. What's the guy with the butt from Charles in Charge?
Buddy had the tight curls.
And then you had
Trpuka had really
he had the white Jerry curl. Yeah,
he had a white Jerry curl.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like tight curls. He was a good Piston too. You know what I'm saying? And I know he worked for the Knicks.
So. Yeah. No, I worked with him for a year. He tough guy, real tough guy. Great analyst. Back in the day, he had that hair.
It looked like he smoked Newport.
Ron Duguay had that kind of hair, too.
He smoked cigarettes. Like, he had, like, cigarettes in his sleeve of his shoulder. Like, half-cut-off sleeve with a pack of Newports of Cool Menthol 100s in the side of it. How the hell we get on Kelly Trpuka?
You brought him. You just said he got into the bubble. So, again, the Yankees win 12-3. What a performance by Cole. 13 strikeouts. Judge with that early home run. 4 pitches into the game. LeMahieu and Judge just jump all over Bieber. They knew something. They clearly had the scouting report. They got him on the early fastballs, and they were tagging him on those fastballs. And it really didn't help because that crazy curveball that he has, breaking ball that just basically bounces in front of the plate, the guys weren't falling for it.
Stan was, but it's okay.
Yeah, Stan did look a little. But at least he got the, like I said, maybe he gets going. And maybe the Yankees now build off this as tonight you have Tanaka and Carrasco. And, of course, tonight we have the game on 98.7 ESPN Live. And then Chris Carlin, again, like last night, hosts a post-game show all the way to midnight, making your boy work.
Ooh.
All the way to midnight. You get your calls in and everything else. And we'll, of course, take the calls on the Yankees as well. And you know what? Who better to go to early on, talking Yankees, than Tessa from West Caldwell?
She's batting 100. What up, Tessa?
I'm always batting 100. At least my voice is sore now from cheering and not from screaming and crying. It feels so good. It feels so good to have a sore throat from yelling nicely and being encouraged.
Get some of that manuka, honey. You know what I'm saying? Hook you right on up. Charge it to the
ass. What about Vaseline? Steph Marbury.
Phrasing?
No. On Monday, I called, but I had to hang up because I had an emergency with work. And Bart, you was very lucky, so we just gonna leave it at that. Today, you was very lucky on Monday. But today, Alan, you know the word I'm gonna use for today? I'm so nerve-sighted. I've combined two words because Tanaka is the man, and I don't care. You know what? I'm not even gonna be skeptical because my other team, I'm already in a trash can with them with the paper bag on my head. So I have no choice but to get on this choo-choo train second and keep it going. I don't care. We're going to win tonight because you're right. I do not want to go to J-App. I think I prefer David Garcia. We're going to do our thing. Tanaka has always come through. So why would he not come through tonight? We're going to do our thing. I love Luke Voigt's confidence. That's what we need right now. They know they've been spotty. They know they've been Jekyll and Hyde. So they're going to show us. So, but Alan, come on. We got to believe. We have nothing else to believe in
when it comes
to our Jets and Giants. So you got to believe. It's not going to be 12-3 again. It might be 5-3. I don't know. But we got to believe. Everybody's clicking right now on the cylinders. DJ LeMahieu is the freaking man. That's why he won that batting title. He's the one that's going to start
pay
us
off. Got to pay him. I don't care how old he is. You got to give him. Yeah,
you
yeah
got,
he's too valuable.
I mean, this man is the man. Even when we was in our slumps, he wasn't. That's why he won the batting title. Think about that. He wasn't in a slump. That's why he won the batting title. As long as he gets a hit and Tanaka, I don't care if it's a spotty first inning, he's going to do what he got to do. We're going to win tonight, cash that in, and everything is going to be fine. And my Lakers going to win tonight, too.
Listen, we come together for this one because, listen, if the Yankees lose, man, then we got nothing to talk about around here. So
if the Yankees lose, I'm going to be as salty as you and worse. I'm telling you, I'm calling, crying.
J-Hap's the only one that wants to see J-Hap pitch a game three.
I tell you what.
I don't even think Aaron Boone wants. I think Aaron Boone's even like,
New York sports got me so depressed, I almost told my kids that Santa Claus wasn't real.
You want to do a project? She was like, what? I said, let's make paper bags. What are we doing, mommy? Making paper bags over mommy's head. I said, because that's how I feel when the Giants play on Sunday. Yeah, let's make paper bags. Bart, I'm right with you.
It's like carbon.
I don't even care. I'm right with both of you guys. Listen, you guys, I absolutely love this show. I just want to just say that. Like, you guys are the absolute best. And it's like, I changed my work schedule for y'all 3 times. I don't care. I'll do it a 4th time. But you guys are the best. And I just appreciate you guys so much.
I love you, Tessa.
That's great. 800-919-3776.
Nancy Kerrigan does. That's why.
Easy does it. So like we said, we've got the buffet going for the whole show. No guests on this show today. It's just going to be you. You are the guest. You're part of the conversation. Obviously, heavy Yankees here early on. We'll get into NBA Finals, and we'll preview what we expect to see in this Finals. And what we'll see tonight is LeBron in his 10th Finals, looking for his 4th title and a lot of legacy on the line for him as well. So we'll get into that more in the noon hour. Blitzer preview coming up later on. But next, your calls. The latest also on the NFL as they have postponed Titans Steelers. Reports are, as Bart said, they could move it to Monday. They could also, as Bart suggested, move it to Tuesday.
It's never been
done
before.
Which would be unbelievable to see a Tuesday night NFL game. The NBA, by the way, game 4 of the finals would be Tuesday night.
We owe the NBA nothing. Y'all in our season, not vice versa. So we ain't making nothing. We doing what we got to do to get our games going.
Well, they don't. The NFL doesn't care. It's more the NBA going like, damn.
Everybody be like, man, come on, man.
People wouldn't want to see LeBron finish off a sweep versus Titans Steelers week 4?
Hell no. They want to see Titans Steelers because they would know it's going to be a bloodbath.
If it's 3-0 Lakers, you don't think that that game would get at least a competitive rating versus the NFL?
Nah, I think they'll Devo it. I mean, you talk about Titans. Damn. Those are 2 playoff teams.
Whip it good. People still Devo?
I mean, I still got mine. I mean, I still got a sling. What you call it? A sling thing?
Careful.
It's like the little thing where you can listen to your cable box when you're away.
Sling box.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, son.
I did know what you were talking about. I just wanted to get you there. That's all. Ice-T3K tells us that the first base umpire now goes behind the plate tonight. Home plate umpire gets the day off because he goes to third. I never pay attention to that stuff. Like, the NBA put out the officials for the finals. I looked at the list, but it's like, people make a big deal. You know who makes a big deal about it, of course, is people that are putting money on the game. I mean, that's obviously a big story for them, but it's never been something that I have put that much focus on. But it does matter in certain matchups, as you know, when it's, Angel Hernandez or somebody like that. Like that, then you know you got a problem. But aside from that, I mean, there's other people. You know, Joe West. I mean, you know, you'll keep an eye out because of the way they call a game, but I don't know. We got the answer for you. That's why we did that. But we've got other things to talk about in the world of sports. Dun, and again, dun, the number is 800-919-3776. Let's get to Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
All right, this is a little lengthy now, so bear with me on the first item that we have for you today, Bart. As the NBA Finals begin tonight with LeBron looking for his fourth NBA title, a little legacy in Lakers history. And the NBA is also looking to complete their three-month run in a bubble of COVID-free basketball. But one former champion...
Good old JR.
One former champion likened it to pickup basketball. Ooh. Who do you think that was?
Oh, pick up basketball? I'm going to go with my man, Zeke.
No, it was Scottie Pippen, actually. And he said...
Well, my cousin.
Yes, your cousin, Scottie Pippen, said in an interview with Business Insider, quote, "It's not NBA basketball. It's not the hard grind." Phrasing. "It's not the travel. It's not the fans. It's not the distractions. Really, to me, it's pick up basketball. It's going to the gym. Yeah, you already got your team. You're practicing together. But it's more a pickup type of basketball game because there's no fans in the stands. So there's no distraction, no real noise. There's no pressure on players." He then used Rajon Rondo, the Lakers guard, as an example, saying he hasn't been a good three-point shooter in his career, and yet we see him shooting over 40% in the playoffs this year. He said, "There's a whole lot of things that make the NBA hard. The bubble makes the NBA easy to me. There's no travel. That's a killer itself. So you're sleeping in the same bed every night. You're walking to the gym. You're not having to go to a 25, 50-minute bus ride to the arena. You're not having to probably even sit in the arena for 2 hours before the game, talk to the media, deal with all the outside stuff that they're trying to pull you into and make some distraction. And, you know, throw the team in a loop. So it's a different game, but it's very entertaining." So, Blitz or Prevent. Pippen has a point. But he's missing that the bubble presents a much different challenge. Players spend most of the time away from family and Instagram models, of course. There's also no escape, no way of blowing off steam. And there's a monotony about it. If anything, the challenge is to stay focused and disciplined. So this championship, Bart, still holds merit. Your thoughts?
It holds merit. It creates different challenges that players weren't equipped for. Like, we're equipped for handling, you know, being on the road. We're equipped for being able to, you know, be in a hotel in a foreign place. But, you know, we even equip and learn how to hydrate properly from travel. But what we don't prepare for, what we haven't prepared for, is being stuck in a place with the confines of being stuck. It's almost like being in a mini prison. It's a good prison, so let's call it federal penitentiary. You know what I mean? It's like being stuck in a fair. It's like you can't go and leave at your own will. You know, you lose a sense of freedom.
I would not really parallel it with being in a federal prison.
Well, what I'm saying is federal prison is much easier than regular prison.
It's a five-star hotel.
Yeah, it's much better than regular prison. I mean, I knew, you know, my uncle did 11 years in prison. He said he was able to leave as long as he had, was back by 11 o'clock. How that happened, I have no idea.
What?
Yeah, I had an uncle did my uncle Mike. Well, my uncle Mike Baxter, my cousin Woody. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we need to go deeper into
my
this.
Cousin Woody. He did 11 years in the federal penitentiary, and then like a certain.
But yet he could leave and come back.
Yeah, he said it was fine. You know, I don't know. Maybe it was the halfway house part of it, but you know, he was in there for 11 years, man. He said it wasn't so bad.
No, not so bad. You know, three squares a day, roof over your head.
Yeah, I mean, you get fresh tomatoes if you're a made man up in that piece, man. You know what I'm saying? Stirring the sauce. You know what I'm saying?
Is that what they call it now?
But I'm not going to go before I get to wrap it up, B. I'm not going to go against Scotty, though. That's my cousin. That's my blood. Why I'm going to go against Scotty?
Well, again, I think he's – I get his point.
It's different,
but it's still – there's a different challenge to it. The discipline and the focus that you have to maintain. The Clippers couldn't do it.
But what he's talking about is the role players. And Rondo, because he's not afraid of being booed or shooting an air ball free throw, so now he's emboldened. We always used to hear the stories about Dennis Rodman hitting all these 44 free throws in a row. He get in the game, he choked. Right, so it's an element to that, being booed and being made fun and being afraid to take shots in front of big crowds when you know it's going to be an instant reaction. So I'm going with my man Scotty. You know,
I wonder
with
though,
with
because
the Pippen nose, everybody in my family, I'm so happy I didn't get that ugly grid on my nose. Oh, yeah. Everybody else in my family, all my cousins look like a beak.
The point is though, is that it'll be interesting to see now that this is the finals. Yeah. I wonder if there'll be a little more nerves. Like, you know, again, the young players that the Heat have, a Tyler Hero especially, is like 12.
I tell you what.
Like, will it affect them?
I tell you what, if I see Rajon Rondo's brother talking stuff to Jimmy Buckets, he might get his ass kicked.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, he might get that. You know, he talks stuff to everybody else.
That could be something.
He going to deal with first man. He going to deal with first man. Going to come over there and do what he got to do. He going to pound on him like King Kong, like Donkey Kong.
Speaking of first man, this is the man right now of the NFL. That's Patrick Mahomes. And by the way, his mama said to call him Patrick. He and his wife, Brittany, or his fiancée, I should say, Brittany, they're not married yet, but they announced on social media Tuesday that they will soon be having a baby. Now, they've been together for years, and they recently became engaged. In fact, it was the same day that Mahomes got his Super Bowl ring.
She's like,
she got one and he got one.
She's like, shoot up the clubs. Way to get him, girl. Way to get him. Because once you saw that half a billy, you're going to have to compete with the whole America. It was going to be like Bachelor. Like, oh, he ain't put no ring on it. Hey, remember, Patrick.
So the Chiefs and Mahomes at 3-0 this season after smashing your Ravens on Monday Night Football. He won the Super Bowl in February. He signed the richest contract in U.S. sports history in the summer. Also bought part ownership of the Kansas City Royals.
Yep.
Blitz a prevent.
And shot up
Mahomes might be the only person in America who would say 2020 was a great year.
Yeah, yeah. He batting 1,000 right now. Ooh. And shot up the club. And his little Michael Phelps made it to pay dirt. You know what I'm saying? So you look at Mahomes, he batting 1,000 right now. The only thing that can mess up 2020 for him is at the beginning of 2021, he loses the Super Bowl. That's the only thing that would make it like,
still a great year. Hey,
but yeah, still a great
year.
He's
the only one singing Sinatra's. It was a very good year.
Yeah,
no
exactly.
One else is. Look, everybody hates 2020. Everybody. Everyone hates this year. He's like, this is the year of his life.
So Garrett Cole,
he's going to be a daddy. He's getting married. He won a Super Bowl. He's a Super Bowl MVP. He just got $100 million. $450 million. Like, this is the best year anybody could ever have in the worst year that everybody else is having.
Trizzle. You just want to grab his little hair. He even got a Head and Shoulders commercial with Palomalu.
Yeah.
Damn it.
He's got that too.
And his hair is nowhere as good as Palomalu. It's not even the same stratosphere. I'd much rather see Palomalu and Dan Marino on a hair commercial, man.
Dan Marino's got a good coif. Got to admit.
Great curls. Tight curls. Original curls. You know what I mean?
Serious business, yeah. No doubt. All right, last but not least. And Anthony's going to get a little emotional here, so everybody just, you know, get a tissue. Mm. This is where Tito Jackson does come in. Tito,
bring me a tissue. He's going to cry in the car.
King Henrik has left the building. Today, the Rangers are expected to announce something that has been speculated for months. The team, they have announced it. Okay, so it is officially announced. The team will buy out the remainder of Henrik Lundqvist's contract. Here's the King in January, back all the way in January, talking about his legacy.
I will always feel like a Ranger, you know. Doesn't matter. In 10, 15 years when I'm done playing, it doesn't matter, you know. The things I've experienced here, it's pretty amazing. So, yeah, that will never change no matter what.
Did he say 10 or 15 years from now when I'm through playing? What the hell are you going to play? Canada? Europe? Where are you going to play? Turkey?
I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
But you know, I like this little radio, his TV show.
Hang on, I haven't gotten to it. I haven't gotten to the question yet.
Oh.
All right, so he had an $8.5 million cap left on his deal. No trade clause, which is the only way that they could clear the salary, and they're making moves. They also moved, remember, Mark Stahl to Detroit, another foundational piece from their nice run in the 2010s, to open up cap space. They're now officially handing the reins over to Igor Shesterkin, who has a great debut this season. Everybody's excited about his possibilities. Now, the goalie mantle for the Rangers has been fantastic, from Richter to Lundqvist, now to Shesterkin. But it's an end of an era for hockey in New York. Lundqvist was the face of the Rangers for a decade. Remember, he led them to the Stanley Cup Finals in 2014. He won the Vezina in 2012, a five-time finals for that trophy, by the way. That's the best goalie in the league. So he's the Rangers' all-time leader in many different goaltending categories. So Blitzer Prevent, Lundqvist now joins the likes of Patrick Ewing and Don Mattingly as beloved New York athletes who came close but never won a championship. Am I missing any others?
No, correct. You're correct, man. Curtis Martin wasn't here long enough. Oh, man. Is it any Jets that stood
Bart
around
Scott?
Deserted? No, I wasn't here long enough. You could say Nick Mangold. I mean, because I think, you know, I call him Fat Thor. You know what I mean? I thought that, you know, he was here for a long time and he played it for a long time. You know, like Fat Thor in the last one, man.
How dare you?
That's his nickname. I call him into his face.
So
Fat Thor.
He's Thor when Thor just gives up.
Yeah, he's Fat Thor. You know what I'm saying? But even before they made that movie, I called him Fat Thor. I mean, because, you know, he had the long hair and he had the beard and stuff like Fat Thor.
I get the reference. It's just, it's very disrespectful.
But it's funny, too. I'm a habitual line stepper.
You
man.
Really are.
I call
so anyway,
balls.
Anyway, Lundqvist, Ewing, Mattingly, I mean, that's pretty much it. Of guys who were loved by New York fans and did not win a title.
Man, I hope we don't have to one day add Jacob DeGrom to that one. Oh, man. I do not want to have to do that one. I hope he's not on deck, man.
Tell you what, that's a really good one.
Yeah, man.
That's
one
a great one. That's a club you don't want to join.
Yeah.
And you're right, DeGrom, people right now, that was going to be my leading question. You might have answered it. So again, that was Blitz and Prevent. Great job by you. I think I might have dominated that because I'm enjoying my writing.
We should have Fat Thor call in. Yeah, I can get him on air.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't call him Fat Thor on the air.
Also, let's call him Skinny
Thor. But the question, though, I do have, though, is, so you have Lundqvist now with Mattingly, with Ewing.
Yeah.
Beloved athlete who played in New York for a long time and didn't win a title. You mentioned DeGrom. Are there any others right now that you could say would be on that list of beloved New York athletes to not win a title?
Look at you.
Or maybe
up,
potentially could be on that list.
Man, look at you coming up with a question
in
mid-show. So put it out there to the fans.
We just did?
Somebody out there. Oh, duh.
So we getting a lot of response from the question that's off of the Henrik Lundqvist item that we just had in Blitzer Prevent. And the simple question is, name a beloved New York athlete who did not win a championship. And I also think we just should also, an addendum to that is, name one that is still playing that might not win one. A beloved New York athlete. Don't just be some random dude. You know, give me somebody that right now is beloved. There aren't many because everybody sucks. But give me somebody that's been playing a while and you're worried that, you know what, is a chance where he might not win a title. And you brought up Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah.
That might be the top of the list of active players who probably will not win a championship.
Yeah, if this was Family Feud, I would have been saying, are we going to pass a play? You know what I'm saying? That definitely would have. That's definitely number one up there. Now, Saquon and all that stuff, he hasn't been around long enough. DeGrom has been around long enough. You know what I mean? He's got
two-time Cy Young.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So yeah,
you know, it's not like the guy's been unbelievable.
I dare you to find number three, number four. Let's say it's a 5-man list. This is Family Feud version of the Barton Hines show. I just hit you with number one,
yes,
and I just struck
number
out.
One answer.
You fill in the rest spots. Fill in the next spots.
Of current players. Current players.
No, current or players that were here.
That would be on that. That would be at that level.
We may have forgot one.
All right, let's see. 800-919-3776 is the number. Let's go with, let's see. Thomas and Manalapan has interesting names here. Thomas.
Hey, guys. Love the show. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
So two names that came to mind, specifically for me, my childhood hero, David Wright, comes to mind. Obviously, never won anything. We got to one in 2015, but
right,
he wasn't himself.
Yeah.
And then Mike Piazza is another guy that everybody in New York loves. Even I feel like guys that
Piazza's
aren't even Mets
a
fans
really
love
interesting
Piazza
name. Yeah, because you know David Wright is, you know, like Mattingly, he's not a Hall of Famer, but a beloved player and was really banged up. But Piazza's a guy, and he had, I mean, heroic moments too, and got to a World Series with the Mets. Piazza's a real interesting name to put on this list. Thanks, Thomas. As far as those, you know, again, the beloved New York, you know, Piazza in New York. Now, I know he had a lot of time with the Dodgers, and then he went on to the Marlins. But you know, he's known as a Met. He's remembered really for a lot of heroics with the Mets. And I'd say, Bart, that Piazza is somebody that you definitely put on the list with Mattingly, Ewing, and now Henrik Lundqvist.
So
I would say he's a beloved Met.
Don't you
think? The 9/11 home run. I mean, there's so many different things. The 2000 World Series.
But what I'm saying is, go ahead and do it. Do it as Steve Harvey would do it. Let's throw him to the list. Let's do it. Let's go through the procedures.
I would put him. Well, I mean, again, this list, Neff, I've already given you three names.
You got to say we polled a group of 100 people to see, you know, who was the most beloved. You know, blah blah blah. And
top five answers on the board. Name someone,
Mike,
who is a beloved New York athlete who did not win
Mike,
a championship.
Give me Mike Piazza. Ding.
That's right, where we're supposed to have the drop.
Yeah, exactly.
The drop's supposed to be there, but
he's still crying in the car because this conversation started off with Henry Lundqvist. That's why he's crying. Mm-hmm. Wipe your face.
I got you.
And stand up.
All right, let's go. Let's go to is it Bavik in New Jersey? I hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah, you got it right.
Thank
What's
you.
What's up, dude?
How you doing, man?
The one I was gonna say, this was kind of off topic, but Bart, for some, I've had love for Bart Scott ever since that playoff interview he did after we won our first playoff game. I don't know why. Like, this may be off topic, but I love Bart. And Bart is definitely up there with all those guys that should be beloved. He should have the more respect compared to the other guys who didn't.
Well, I appreciate that, but I wasn't here long enough. I was only here 4 years, so if you want to use my equivalent, there we go.
There
if you
want to
use
is.
My equivalent.
No, you got to do the X for this.
You
got to
do it.
Bart's not on the list. Who is
so
this?
So if you want to use me, you can probably go David Harris, because David Harris spent 11 great years here. He played at a high level for a long time, or DeBrinkershaw Ferguson,
wait a minute.
Or Nick Mangold, Fat Thor.
You just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
Why would somebody put a picture of Derek Jeter? Like, I'm looking at our responses to the Twitter. Come on, people.
They're trolling you, man.
Trolling for sure. Mark is in New Jersey. Mark?
I love you guys' show, and I'm going to have to go with Eddie Jockeman.
Oh, yeah, Eddie Jockeman. A beloved Ranger goalie from the early 70s that was replaced eventually by John Davidson, actually, traded to Detroit. And when his first game back with the Rangers, right after the trade, and the fans were chanting his name, Eddie, during the anthem, and he was crying. What a moment. I mean, you're talking about a moment. Let's see. This is interesting. Ultra 1972 said, can you count Vince Carter?
Yeah, Vince Carter. Vince Sanity
played for the Nets and got to an NBA Finals.
Yeah, and I think his Vince more Carter. Of a community, but he played so many damn teams. It's hard for one to claim him. He was here for how long?
I guess the Raptors, but he was Air Canada. The Raptors really, right? You know, they claim him.
Let's talk about like more homegrown type of people or people that came over here and spent significant time. You know what I mean? I know Piazza came here. He spent significant moments.
Somebody put a GIF of Carmelo Anthony.
Ooh, yeah. You can go there.
Is that on the board? Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, Melo's like the last one.
He spent a bunch of years here. Second round was as far as he could get. Won a scoring title. All-star every year. Broke the Garden record, 62 points. But I tell you what, though, was he beloved?
Yeah, he was beloved. People loved him, man.
I don't know about beloved. I would say he was appreciated at times and then not appreciated.
He was beloved, but it's like most things, right? It's like the whole Batman thing. It's like die the hero, live long enough to see yourself become the enemy.
This is one of those things, though, you have to understand. The list has to be – there has to be a standard. Because we are seeing some other names. You have to be somebody that was Hall of Fame or borderline Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's important to this. Because we're seeing some other names being put up here, and I don't want to disrespect anybody, but I'm talking about when I say Ewing and Mattingly, who I know isn't a Hall of Famer, but borderline. Lundqvist will be a Hall of Famer. Like, you know, that's a pretty high standard. You mentioned DeGrom, which I think is unbelievable. Like, he's that guy that currently you would say.
Yeah, you can't say Syndergaard.
Could be on
Syndergaard
that list
hasn't
one day.
Played at a high enough level. You wouldn't say Syndergaard. You have to go DeGrom.
No, and there's no current Yankees because they haven't been around long enough, and you're hoping they are going to win a title. But, yeah. You know, like current Yankees, the only one would be if Aaron Judge never wins a title, you know, he would be on this list, wouldn't he? Everybody loves Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I wonder if all is forgiven if Aaron Judge, if they win a championship, then they'll pay him his money. But if they don't, they say, hey, man, we can't trust you to stay healthy, so we don't want to give you that money, that type of, you know, that type of Mookie Betts type of money.
But that's the Yankees. They never say that. Chris is in Wantagh. Chris?
What up, Bart Allen? How's it going?
Good.
You know, I got the name for this list, Bart. You know, it wasn't you, but he played on your team. And then he went and won a title with the Patriots. Darrell Revis is without a doubt the worst of the best. He was the greatest Jet ever, and he not only didn't win with us, he went and won with the Patriots.
Well, that's the thing is, look, yeah, I appreciate it, Chris, but he did win a title, so he's not on the list.
Right. That's why I said the Briggs are first and Fat Thor.
There it is.
Because Fat Thor is borderline Hall of Famer. I mean, he was just as dominant for a long period of time as Mawali. You know, Kevin Mawali. So, you know, I think he'll be right behind him. I think he'll eventually potentially get in because I think he's like an 8-time Pro Bowler. You know, I mean, probably 4-time All-Pro.
A real interesting name that is coming up, Curtis Martin.
Ooh. See, that's why I started going Curtis Martin, Jets, he wasn't around long enough.
Well, I mean, long enough.
How long were
they got to the conference championship.
But how long was he? Because I think of him as a Patriot, too.
Yeah, but I think he's considered a Jet, though,
yeah,
isn't
that's
he?
True. I mean, he's like, what, 4th all-time rushing Hall of Famer? Absolutely. You got to go there, too.
You know what? I don't know.
The fact that he's a Hall of Famer, I think it begins there. But you're talking about a guy that – I'm trying to now – let me get his – I mean, numbers wise with the Jets, he's certainly going to be your best.
Yeah, he run a bunch of.
He spent three seasons with the Patriots. He was with the Jets for 7 years, 8 years.
Okay, yeah, he on that list. Listen, I don't know all the Jets facts, man. I just played for him. I wasn't here. I wasn't studying them.
Really.
I'm disrespectful.
That's what you're going to do?
I apologize.
No, it's an interesting conversation. I think the one that's most fascinating is who's on the risk for that. You know, like that's the thing is who's somebody that's sitting there and you're saying this guy could be on that list and DeGrom. When you said DeGrom, that's one of those damn.
Saquon Barkley, if they pick him back up, if they pick his stuff back up,
is he beloved? Saquon?
They love him. He's such a great guy, man. Saquon's such a nice guy, man.
See, this is something
he's the Curtis Martin of the Giants.
If you tell Steve Cohen this, it makes him a little more maniacal with his money, right? Yeah. Like, I'm getting Jake off that list. I'm getting him off that list. Ewing, if you're power ranking Henrik, Patrick, Don Mattingly, right? Those three that are the givens. And if you want to put Curtis Martin on there, even though Curtis Martin with the Jets, Jets fans loved him. I loved him. But I don't know if he was like a superstar, like even at the level that Henrik was in New York. You know, Henrik's all over the place. Like, you didn't have to know hockey to know Henrik, the king. You know, Curtis Martin didn't even have a nickname like that. But still, if you were going to power rank them, I would say Patrick would probably be at the top. Wouldn't you say Patrick would be at the top of that list?
Yeah, it was disappointing.
More than Mattingly?
Because his teams were good. And, like, they were always knocking on the door, but they never could get over the hump. You think about some of these other teams, they didn't even have the opportunity to kind of be there. You talk about... Fat Thor, like he only played a couple. He had two playoff runs. You know, Patrick was in there every year. You had hope, but he just had that guy named Jeffrey just sitting right there. They're just like, nope, no thank you. Then when he didn't have Jeffrey, got bounced.
That's true. Bill in the Bronx got a guy. Bill?
Yeah, guys, what about Tiki Barber with the Giants? Did he not win a title, but then when he leaves, they go on and win the title.
Yeah. Was he beloved?
No, he was beloved.
He
was beloved before he said that about Eli.
Yeah.
Yeah. He went beloved. From beloved to hated pretty quickly.
Yeah, pretty quickly. Thanks, Bill. Yeah, it's an interesting list we put together here, man. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's a really interesting list. I do think Patrick's at the top. You're going to power rank the ones we do have on the list.
Yeah,
but
Patrick DeGrom, I think fifth will be Carmelo Anthony. Fourth will be Curtis Martin. And number three.
So you'd say Patrick, Mattingly, Henrik.
Yeah.
Then you said Curtis Martin. And then
Carmelo.
And Carmelo?
Yep.
Would you say that would be the list?
That's a solid-ass list.
I think that's a solid list. So David Wright doesn't make the list.
Nah, man, he wasn't good enough. He was injured. And it's not any fault of his own, but, we didn't think that he was always supposed to be.
Mets fans loved him, though.
He was supposed to be the Mets Jeter, but he never turned out to be the Mets Jeter because he couldn't stay healthy.
That's a good point. Absolutely good point. All right, 800-919-3776. This is fun doing this, but let's just discuss the NBA Finals here real quick. Tonight on ABC, 9 o'clock is the tip-off. Game 1, Lakers Heat. LeBron's 10th appearance in an NBA Finals after taking that hiatus last year. The Heat, by the way, for them, they're 6th since 2006, going for their 4th title since 06, and that's a Pat Riley thing, of course. So it's Riles and LeBron trying to get that one more ring on their fingers. This is, by the way, the Lakers are a heavy favorite. In fact, third biggest finals favorite, according to William Hill, in the last 15 years. It's only the third time, though, that LeBron enters the finals as the favorite, which is, again, you'd think LeBron-led teams, everybody believes in them, but in fact, no, it's not actually true. Out of 10 times, I should say 9 previous times, only twice was he entering the finals as a favorite. But it does feel like the Lakers are set up here. Like, they have played so well. They have a veteran team. They are deep, and they've got the best player in the world, and then they also have Anthony Davis, who isn't too bad either. So when you look at this matchup, Art, and then you have the upstart Heat, which is Jimmy Butler and a bunch of guys that they literally just drafted, developed, put together, and have created themselves. And Dragic is a really good player, but you would not look at that roster and say, wow, that's championship caliber.
I mean,
what's it going to take?
I mean, we didn't even think that they would be able to get through the Eastern Conference. I mean, we had low bar for them, saying, okay, it'd be nice to win one, maybe two. We thought the ceiling for them was maybe the conference finals. You know, so the fact that they've already made it this far has made them really exceed expectations. But we know that the Lakers can be lazy. They can start off that first game in the series. It's the one that you can get. And whenever you're one game up on the Lakers, you're one step closer. So this is the one that the Heat can get, right? Because we always know LeBron and Vogel, they always make the proper adjustments. But this time, I think they have just as great of strategists on the other side. When you think about Spoelstra and his ability to adjust the game plan in game and from game to game, it's going to take the Heat to make sure that they continue to mix things up, stay multiple, and it's going to take these guys hitting shots, big shots. And when LeBron says, "I'm taking over the game," and want to have these big runs, you have to make sure that you nullify, you know, his impact on that. And you got to make sure that you make him work. You got to make him work, 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 and you can't allow him to rest when Rondo decides to be the facilitator. You got to get up in his chest and pick him up. You have to, and I know it sounds hard to say, but you have to be physical with him. Yes, I know he's a big player, but no easy buckets, no dunks, no transition buckets. If he goes up there, you got to get hard foul. You're not trying to hurt him, but you got to have a hard foul. You got to make sure that you got to understand that, listen, if we're going to get this, you're going to earn it. It's going to be rough and tough. And if we lose, it's going to be because the other guys are hitting big shots. It's going to be because Caldwell Pope is hitting shots. It's going to be because Rondo is continuing to hit, you know, 40% of his 3-pointers, because he definitely going to get them. And we'll see if they can penetrate that fortress that the Miami Heat's going to try and set up.
I'll tell you what, it's what we saw. You remember with that Portland series, that game one, where Portland was just making threes and the Lakers couldn't make a three?
Yep.
The Lakers have been hitting the three, and that's all about LeBron and how he's been able to facilitate. He finds the open man, especially those corners. You watch Danny Green in the corner. You see, you know, Caldwell Pope will be in the corner.
Those shots are
going to be available, but this 2-3 zone is interesting. The way he plays the 2-3 zone, that's what Spo does with the Heat. It has worked. It frustrated the Celtics. They did find ways to find the seams in the zone. But the Celtics didn't have enough shooting. They couldn't make a shot in the fourth quarter. It just wasn't there for them. That three is a big part of – it's obviously a big part of the NBA game, but it's going to be a huge part for the Lakers, because I think the Heat are going to take the paint away. As much as Anthony Davis has dominated the paint, then the Nuggets couldn't do anything with him. Jokic was just getting dominated in the paint by AD. I don't know if the Heat can allow them to dominate the paint.
If you take
the paint away, the threes are going to be there.
Yep.
And I think it's going to be on that. We know the Heat can make threes. They've got a bunch of guys that can shoot it. So I think they have to be scrappy, but they have to. You brought it up. Use your fouls. Be physical.
Yep.
I do think that's going to be a big part of it for the Heat. But they're a younger team. Now, there's no crowds. There's no travel. Like Pippen said, it is a different-looking finals. So will the younger Heat players not be as affected because you don't have that intensity of the stage of the finals? I mean, you're still in the bubble. It's still the same place. You've been playing all these games, and you're still only going to have friends and family, literally, in the crowd. It's all you're going to have there. So I think that's a huge factor in the finals. And I'll be curious to see if that zone works against the Lakers.
Before we go to break, are we going to break? Because my boy's from Motown over there in Morristown, man, Motown Barbershop. You know, they said Charles Oakley, because the owner over there, Tyrone, a.k.a. Puffy, Creatine Chest, you know, he's best friends with Oakley from Cleveland. So
okay. He
said he Charles Oakley. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Oak makes that list. I don't know.
He might be honorable mention.
Yeah, he might be honorable mention.
He's not a Hall of Famer. Now, I'll tell you what. There is another name that was brought up on our Twitter feed, and that was Joe Klecko.
Okay.
A guy that should be in the Hall of Fame.
That's some greatness going on right there.
A guy that should be in the Hall of Fame, was a beloved Jet, got to, again, conference championship, we all know. So Klecko's a real interesting name. So I got to revise, though, because we left the name out that we both agreed should be on it. So the power rank, the five are Ewing, Mattingly, Piazza, Curtis Martin, Henrik Lundqvist. That's
we
the five.
We can't leave
beloved New York.
So Carmelo
falls off the list.
He's honorable mention.
He's got to be, because Piazza, people love Piazza way more than they love Melo.
That's true.
So to me, Melo, Wright, Klecko, and you can put Oak there, too, if you want, are sort of the honorable mention types. I could put John Starks on there. John Starks was a beloved Nick.
Yeah.
People loved him in New York.
He was the original J.R. Smith.
Yeah, you could say that. Just didn't do some of the stuff.
Drive you crazy. I think we should give a Nobel Peace Prize. I wonder if I'm sure it was a props bet or some type of bet in Vegas that JR would break
the bubble
protocol. Now he about to mess around and get a championship, and he's contributed just as much as I have.
It is pretty amazing that he's gone this far, and he wasn't the guy. That it was it ended up being Daniel House instead,
right?
Who hit on the test taker? It'd be calling me.
I'm so proud of you, JR. JR live in my hood, man. So I'm so proud of JR.
He's got a shot at another ring.
Wait till I see him at Lifetime, man. Wait till I see him at Lifetime. Man, just imagine. I don't know. I wonder if he's going to have that same energy taking his shirt off knowing that he ain't do nothing.
Oh, why not? He's got a ring.
Why not? Yeah, why not? Why not?
Sign up for the ring, baby.
Hey, as soon as you get the room, the little white boy that he punched in the face for messing up his car going to come back and sue him for his ring. he just landed in the weeds.
Maybe. It's a good conversation because Henrik Lundqvist bought out by the Rangers, so his era, that era ends in New York, and you just another great athlete that you loved, that people loved or at least appreciated or respected or however you want to put it, who did not win a championship. And so he's on that list with Patrick Ewing and Mike Piazza and, you know, maybe Curtis Martin and some others. But it's so funny how even though when you do that, it's like Ewing wasn't loved or, you know, they just make the different arguments.
Yes, you know, everybody has their own different point of view, right? Because it depends on when you were born, you know, if you're a fan, you know, if he didn't get your autograph, you know, everybody's jaded a little bit. But let's just take our emotions out of it and let's just say that, you know, this list is pretty damn solid. And if you want to knock
Piazza's
somebody
on that list, man.
Yeah, if you want to knock somebody off that list, then you got to come with some facts to support it. You can't just, you know, say.
I think the only player. I'm sorry. The only player would be Curtis Martin, only because we use the term beloved, and I don't know if Curtis Martin was beloved. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if he was a beloved player. He was a very low-key kind of guy. Like, he wasn't a big personality when he played here like these other guys were.
But he was a gentleman. So
I'm not taking that away.
Yeah, so I would compare him to Barry Sanders, how Barry Sanders is beloved in Detroit, and he never said a word. He was a mild-mannered, quiet guy, but people loved him. You know what I mean? So Curtis Martin was loved because all he did was go out and produce, and he was a guy that you can count on. You know what I'm saying? Had the little, you know what I'm saying, Just For Me curls up in the top. You know what I'm saying? He's still around. You know what I'm saying? The ladies love Cool J. You know what I'm saying? So it's all good.
He's a fantastic player. There's no doubt about that. I'm talking about when you say beloved, how beloved was he when there are other Jets who you'd say, oh, that guy was like Joe Klecko. I think was a beloved Jet. It's just it was such a long time ago that there's a whole generation that doesn't even know who he is.
That's true.
You know, that's true. The only problem. But I grew up, that was my first favorite teams were the Jets.
Second Saints, Klecko and Gaskin.
Oh, my God. That group was insane.
Marty Lyons, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, my man Marty Lyons, shout out. So, you know, like to me, like that's you know, that's where the list starts to get a little dicey when you start how far back are we going, all that other stuff. All right, 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll continue with these when we can get them in, no question about it. Yeah, you know, J-Dub also mentions, too, in the notes here, Wayne Krabet was probably more beloved in that from that Jet era as a player. Like, he was beloved, but Curtis Martin's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
You know, so I guess.
There's levels to this.
Yeah.
Kevin Mawai could have been on this list.
Yeah, again, beloved is a much word is so specific. Fans, and that's why, you know, Keyshawn actually, his issues with Krabet was basically because, you know, Keyshawn was the best talent on the team, but the fans just reacted differently to Krabet because he was Rudy.
I got a nickname for Keyshawn now. Keyshawn is he is the perfect person to be his alter ego is Roscoe Jenkins, team of me. Keyshawn, throw me the damn ball, Johnson. Man.
Just throw me the damn ball.
Team? What team? I'm the team. I'm all the team we got. Get to the back of the bus. Wait.
All right, let's get to audio files.
The audio file.
All right, so Serena Williams, who has gone through a lot of injuries here throughout her career towards the end, and as we know, is still chasing her, you know, the ability to win majors.
Martina. No.
Navratilova.
Yeah. See, I know I can jog your memory.
Yeah. Well, can you believe it, by the way, that Serena 39 years old?
Yeah, man. I've been looking at that cat suit for a minute.
Been watching Serena, literally, her entire life. So she
took them beads out. I was like, man. Could you imagine? I remember, like, I know she's married now. But, man, when she was dating LeVar Arrington, I was like, man, let me sign that dude up. I was like, man, if they have a boy, man, what could have been? Messed it up, well, LeVar.
Anyways, she had to withdraw from the French Open because of a left Achilles injury. And you know at that age, Achilles. You don't mess around with the Achilles.
And so, black people after 30 has a higher percentage of tearing our Achilles because we have very high calves.
Is that so? Yeah, I think you brought that up before.
Yeah, I said it all the time. They were concerned with me when I got over 30 that mine was going to pull because they were so tight. Because if you start getting tight, they already kind of wound up. Just to think about all the great African-American athletes that have pulled their Achilles and blown their Achilles out when they were past 30. Really want to talk to Julio Jones, Kobe. It was like a whole rash of them at one time. Damon Woody.
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant. Damon Woody blew his out. It's just we got them high calves because we grew up in the hills of Africa, so we walk on our toes. That's why if you ever look at black people, their calves are high as hell. And if you look at,
my calves are high.
Well, that's because you got a little juice in you, baby. You know what I'm saying? It's all good.
Thank you, man. I got some lift.
Told you we took you in the racial draft, man.
I accept. I told you that already, too.
I think we gave up.
Tell you what, after watching last night, I accept even more. Anyways, the whole thing was just a. Anyways, here's Serena Williams when she was asked, is her season over?
Yeah, I think I need 4 to 6 weeks of sitting and doing nothing, at least 2 weeks of just sitting down. And then from that, after that 2 weeks, I've been told that I need to start doing a little training. So I think I'm going to call it more than likely. I don't know, doing the math on that. I don't know if I'll be able to play another tournament this year.
And listen, I know this is always gets dicey because I'm talking about a woman, but I'm not talking about her as a woman. I'm talking about her as an athlete.
Yeah.
You know, when athletes get later in their career, they have to do something that they may not want to do. And Serena's always been on the borderline of being, carrying a lot of weight. We've seen Carmelo become bubble Carmelo. We've seen Chris Paul become bubble Chris Paul, go straight, vegan meat diet. Serena's going to have to go to that type of levels to try and get this last win because you got to take off a lot of weight and be able to not have to carry that same type of weight and muscle mass because those joints and those ligaments have been used so much that arthritis is undoubtedly setting
in. You've seen athletes too. All athletes, when they get older, their longevity is based on the fact that they do actually get a lot leaner and lighter.
And it's hell.
That's why so many athletes cannot go further. Let me just correct something, by the way, Serena is going, she has 23 majors. She's going for 24, which would tie the record. And that's Margaret Court, by the way.
Okay.
So she hasn't won since the Australian Open in 2017. This is the earliest exit of any Grand Slam since a second round loss in Paris in the French in 2014. But second time she's withdrawn from a Grand Slam in her career. Also the French in 2018. So...
Been the same since he had the baby, and that's a hard thing to put your body through. But you don't delay starting your family because of a sport, because family comes first, and you only have a small window to kind of be a mom and do it in a safe time. But, she made her decision, but, ever since she's come back from having a baby, it's always been difficult because it takes still a couple years for the body to heal.
Yeah, it's still playing at a high level.
Yes.
Even after that, it's still something, again, honored as one of the great athletes of this generation and maybe even many generations.
The greatest of the last 10 years, man. Just as dominant. She's been just as dominant as LeBron during this reign. She's been doing her thing. And listen, the difference between her sport and everybody else's, she ain't got nobody to tag in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody else got teammates that can lift them up. You can have bad shooting nights, and your teammates pick you up. She by herself, solo mijo.
Well, speaking of, again, teams, this is LeBron James, as we mentioned, in his 10th NBA Finals with his third different team now in the NBA Finals, and now trying to get his fourth title and third with a third different team. And it's been an experience. As we mentioned, Scottie Pippen said it's not the same. It's like pick up basketball. You're not traveling. You're playing in the bubble. So it's a much different experience, but it's still having to stay in the bubble, endure the bubble, not be with family until just now families are starting to come into the bubble. LeBron James talked about bubble life.
Probably been the most challenging thing I've ever done as far as a professional, as far as committing to something and actually, making it through. I knew what I was coming, what we were coming here for. Obviously, I would be lying if I sat up here and knew that everything inside the bubble with whatever. The toll that it would take on your mind and your body and everything else because it's been extremely tough. But you know, I'm here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to compete for a championship. And that was my mindset once I entered the bubble, once I entered the quarantine process, the first 2 days, and then right from our first practice, my mindset was to, if I'm gonna be here, make the most of it, and see what you can do and lock in on what the main thing is. And the main thing was for us to finish the season and compete for a championship. So that's just been my mindset, you know, throughout these, I don't even know how many days it is. Whatever, how many days it is, it feels like 5 years. So it really doesn't matter. But I've been as locked in as I've ever been in my career.
Bart, like I said, I do think it's a different challenge. And the challenge is the team and the players, the stars especially, who could stay disciplined. This was really more of a discipline type run to win a title than ever before. And LeBron certainly had it. The focus and the discipline was the most important aspect, and he's had it so far.
Yeah, he's been locked in. And also what he's been able to do, like LeBron always does, is he's inspired his teammates to stay locked in as well. Always reminding them what we are here for. Never let anybody get distracted. Everybody's been locked in. They've only lost a couple of games where it seems like they were disinterested, and that was like the first Blazers start. And ever since then, they've been locked in, and they've been not wasting time and wasting the opportunity, which is what teams that have the killer instinct does. They put teams away when they can, and they don't let them have breath or give them hope. And if the Heat get this win, that's why you talk about, I would arguably say, now he may not get the credit, but I think what he's been doing for this team has been just as important in Jimmy Butler as what LeBron has done for his team, as far as keeping them focused, leading by example, always coming with this effort and being willing to take the tough, difficult shots, being able to come. Some of the most impressive things I've had about, you know, plays, I think that Butler's made is some of those clutch free throws that he's taken at the end of games. You know, and he doesn't even blink. He doesn't flinch. He doesn't run away from the moment. He embraces it, and he's trying to prove to everybody that he's not the problem where he's been. It's been everybody else. And when you do that, you're pretty much locked in because you're trying to prove a point to other people. All right, make them put their foot in their mouths.
And that leads us right to Jimmy Butler, who has his thoughts about his surprising team in the finals.
A really good team. That's it. A really good team. Not going to say that we're any better than anybody else, but I just don't think that we're underdogs. I don't. So what that nobody picked us to be here, that's okay. Pretty sure nobody's picking us to win either. That's okay.
Vegas has the Heat at plus 300, while the Lakers are minus 370. It's the third largest deficit, so the third biggest finals favorite the Lakers are in the last 15 years. You don't have to believe in the Heat, but you better respect them.
Well, yeah, you got to respect the entire program, right? Because it's a program and how they go about their business and make sure that, you know, they built this team in Pat Riley's likeness, right? A tough team. Reminds me of that old Kentucky team that lost to the Miners back in the day. But they were tough, right? The Rump's led teams. He's learned from some of the best leaders in the game, man. And I feel like, you know, even though that Spoelstra's there, I think it's underneath the development and the tutelage of Pat Riley. And
what are we talking about?
So Pat Riley wants to win one without LeBron, but to win one without LeBron, he has to go through LeBron. How ironic is that?
All right, last but not least, so as we talk about teams and success and everything else going forward here in New York, what can the Nets become when the NBA does start up after these finals are over? Like when there's another NBA finals, will the Nets be there with KD and Kyrie and Steve Nash as their head coach? That's the plan. Well, Steve Nash was on the Woj pod and discussed culture with KD and Kyrie.
I think that first-year contenders often struggle. You know, they don't have that common experience. They don't, you know, they're not, like I say, you know, in the second round, conference finals, you know, being down 2-1 on the road, they go on a 12-0 run and the crowd goes crazy. You know, first-year teams perhaps don't necessarily handle that as well because of the lack of common experience. So I think it's important for us to be aware of that, to go into it understanding that and knowing we can't control that, but what can we control? And our connectivity is a big part of what we can control. So trying to put that in our DNA, or at least in our foundations here, to bring this group together, to not force it or be corny, but to find real value in each other and that connectivity, I think, is important.
Now, Bart, as we know, Nash has to feel like they've got to basically win now. Yep. Even with Durant coming back from the injury, it's going to be almost 2 years by the time they play again.
So you're talking about common experience, though, but this is 2 years, though.
Well, they haven't played on the court going through any adversity, and we saw LeBron and Wade went through it their first year together as well, where they had those moments. They started out at 500. They did get to the finals, but they did get upset in that finals by Dallas. So for Steve Nash, though, the window is small. You have basically 2 years to get it done, and you have to do it hitting the ground running. And he's trying to do that right now, getting them already conditioned to understand that when things go bad, we got to stick together.
Absolutely. We understand that he has two guys with deer skin, the thinnest skin in all of sports. I mean, they hear everything. They respond to everything. So it's going to be important for him to understand that you got to get that bunker mentality. I would make sure that no newspapers, no TVs are on. I mean, you walk into the Nets training facility, I'm going to make sure no ESPN is on. I'm going to make sure no sports is on. We're going to be watching you know, Price is Right and all that other stuff, because, you know, they'll go on a Twitter storm. You know what I mean? Yeah. KD get the ghost account, start going at people, man. Like, look, man, you wasting energy, man. Let's concentrate on getting this chip.
Gotcha.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.